Where'd the beer go? There it is. All right. It's Thursday night. It's March 14th. And you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. Yeah. Where is everyone? Yeah, cricket sound. Where's the crickets at? I have some crickets here somewhere. There they are.
There you go.
Yeah, man, it's like, and I even like put a teaser out that I was going to talk about the upcoming boondoggle, and we've got like me, you, and one guest. If you're a guest and you're listening in and you want to participate in the chat room, you can use your Facebook or your Twitter account or some social media account to log in, or just click log in and fill out a quick Blog Talk Radio. Joining me here in the studio is Bill Howard, a.k.a. Haywood. How are you, Bill?
Doing good.
Yeah, man. It's like it's like lonesome out there. Lozier's like, what up? I see you, man. How is everyone? We're doing good, man. We're doing good. And if you're listening on the app, I'm watching the board. So if you got something to say, just click back. You can still listen to it and post on the wall there, and I'll see you, and we'll give you a shout-out. So I looked the other day, and the app for through the Apple Store, we've gotten about a little over 300 downloads for the app from Apple. And then the Google Store, I'm not quite sure the metrics on that one, but somewhere around the same, about 300-400. So we're pushing about 750 so on apps. But there's like some in China, some in Japan. If you're from China or you're Japan and you're listening to our show, drop me a line at kayakfishingradio@gmail.com. I'd like to know what you guys are doing for kayak fishing over there. So I saw some from Europe, Britain, that kind of thing. Quit scratching, man. We can hear you.
How is that me? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Maybe it's something else. But in the chat room, I see the guests. I see Mr. Lozier. I see the other half of the Double L crew. There's VV Java Chick. That's Chris. Another guest just showing up and also joining us now on Buzzards Row. Good evening, sir. I can hear you in the background. I can hear me in the background. Area code 703.
That's not me, but it's me.
It's not me, but it's me. It's YouTube, Cap. It's, what's going on, man?
Yeah, man. I just trying to get over some flu and bugs and not enough fishing, you know?
Not enough fishing. Is it still cold up there? Yes, it is.
Hell yeah. Yeah, but I saw the pictures from the event down there, and, you know, as much as I could say I wish I was there.
Yeah, you should have been trying
what
to...
What I want to know is, how come the clone didn't pull his own weight, sounds like?
He was doing it, man. Actually, he caught all the fish.
Oh, and okay. Then, is that the way it works?
Right. Yeah. He caught all the fish, and I was paddling and stuff, so... But, yeah. And, it was fun, man. It was really cool. And they said when they were talking on the Double L show the other night that... If you're one of the plank holders in the first one, you always get priority for entry into a next one. So
cool.
We're good. Yeah. Oh, and I see Tommy Head Jigs is joining us. There's Redfish Chuck, and I'm gonna have to put you on mute, man, because I can hear myself in your speakers. There. All right. So, anyways, we got a post on the app there. Tim M says we're on the app. Cool. Glad you're listening, Tim. You said we, so I guess that's T. Morris up in Massachusetts there, right? But there was another post, and it was I guess last night. But it says anybody in the Tampa Bay area needs some fishing company. I'm always looking for new fishing buddies. NES82 is the handle on that one. And I said, if you join us here, if maybe you're one of the guests in there, if you're listening to the podcast, or if you're listening on the app, just join us sometime here on Thursday night, because I know a lot of people around here that are from the Tampa Bay area. and they catch fish there. So there was also another post from Austin D. It doesn't say where he's from, but it says, what kayak should I get for my first one? That's a big question. Right? Bill, how do you answer a question like that?
Yeah, that's tough. You hear it and you read it all the time on all the kayaking forums. You know, which one should I get?
Right.
You know, it depends on what type of fishing you're going to do. But I think more importantly, besides that, is, you know, how are you going to transport it and where are you going to store it?
That's
good. You know, if you have a small car and you live in an apartment, like a second-story apartment, you know, maybe a 14-foot kayak is not what you want.
No, was so it? It's, Rob there carries that Malibu up the stairs when he was living in a second-floor apartment.
Hey, I mean, you can do it, you know.
Yeah.
If you've got the room, you know, if you're single, throw it in your living room, yeah, whatever. But those are some of the things you want to look at before you purchase one, and then find a demo day or a dealer that has a lot of different kayaks that you can go sit in and try and do that. Because what I like might not be what you like.
Absolutely. And that's so important. I mean, and I even go a little bit further and say, you know, if you go to a demo day, you just go paddle around, or, you know, like I know there's a shop that's here called the Outside World. There's one in Columbus, and there's one up Marietta way. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have like a pool, you know, so you can get in, you can paddle it, you can sit in it, you can feel the stability and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't know until you get it out on a lake, or if you're going to be river fishing, you're going to take it out on a river. And I would do at least rent a kayak that you think you might like for the weekend. Take it out where you're going to paddle it first time just to get used to the kayak, just to get used to the stability and all. And then I would say fish out of it because, you know, there are some kayaks that I've been in that I'm just not comfortable with the way I got to turn around or I got to put myself to be able to fish. So, I mean, and that's really what you're – I mean – it is kayak fishing radio, so, I mean, there are some folks that just paddle around and enjoy the ecosystem, but I'm thinking if you're going to fish out of it, you know, you need to go ahead and try fishing from it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, like a touring kayak might not be the best thing to fish out of.
You'll get there really fast, but...
Yeah, but you'll probably get there really wet, too.
Yeah.
First time you reach around to grab something from behind you, bloop, you turtle it. So,
it's going to flip over. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you see there in the chat room, you got Tommy Head Jig. So Tommy there, I met him. He's just down the road from me. And we've met and everything. And he wants to learn about kayak fishing. So I'm going to take him out. I'm going to take the Trident 15, you know, and I'm going to take the natives out there. And I'm going to let him play around in him because he seemed a little concerned when I first talked to him about getting in a kayak. You know, he's had some stability issues in some previous expeditions and canoes and stuff, but it's different in a fishing kayak. So, I think there's some issues going on in the chat room. I don't see any scribble. I can read everybody's font and said, so, yeah, Tommy says, yep, test drive them. That's right. You see.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So, is that you, Jim, 678?
Yes, sir. How's it going, Chip?
Welcome back, man. You feeling better?
Yeah, man. Got better, started eating solid food, and then the wife and I had to fly out to San Diego for a wedding. So I had to do the husband-wife escort, the wife for the wedding in the West Coast, you know?
Right. So you been doing any fishing?
No. I've been doing escort wife. But this weekend, it's supposed to be 70 in Atlanta.
Yeah, I heard, man. Told Tommy we need to find a place to go fishing. I'll take him out there. I'll meet him, and we could give it a try, man. There might be some fish staging. It's freshwater stuff, but it's fishing.
Crappie.
Yeah, I heard that they're starting to pick up over on West Point.
Yeah. Buddy of mine, I had lunch with him this week. He said the crappie are biting in the lake in his subdivision.
Yeah?
The crappie are picking up. Yep.
You might need to text me a location, man. My wife's taking off with her motorcycle friends for the day, so I might be able to sneak away.
It's very good.
Still too messed up to try to mow the lawn. But anyways, we were talking about someone asking about the first time for a kayak. You know, what should they buy and stuff. Have you got a kayak yet, Jim?
I've got three kayaks. I got a big 17.5-foot sea kayak sit-in.
Uh-huh.
Storm. And then I've got that old 9-year-old Tarpon 16 sit on top. And then I've got a 12-foot sit on top that I keep down in Panama City at a buddy's house in case I'm down there without one of my boats.
What's the 12? Is it a tarpon also?
It's that company got bought off by Native. It's a Manta Ray 12.
Oh, okay.
And
so Liquid Logic.
They got bought out. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And then they got bought. So the 12 is what I use for real small water and ponds. And my 16 is what I use in bays. And then the 17.5 sit-in is just when my wife and I want to paddle and try to work the fat. We just we take those and paddle the big ones.
Yeah. So, and it's all about getting in a boat and trying it out. So, Austin D, sorry, I didn't really we don't really have a good solid answer for, because really we don't even know. He just said, what kind of kayak should I get for my first one? And I said, well, the issue being that we don't know what kind of fishing you're going to do. If it's freshwater, saltwater, if it's flat water, if it's going to be open water, going to be offshore, there's all kinds of things you can do. And luckily, there's all kinds of kayaks to fit that bill, right? So if you pick up the podcast, if you're on the app, I'm watching the wall. I just said hey to Tim Morris. They're listening on the app there, so give them a little thumbs up. And
hey, Chuck, I do have some feedback on that one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have fished out of my 17.5-foot sitting kayak, and it's got the bulkheads and the hatches in the back and front. A sitting kayak is very efficient to paddle, even if it's not composite, even if it's plastic like my boats are.
Right.
And you can stick and I have a spray skirt that goes over the cockpit, like most sit-ins, because I tell you, I've rolled my big kayak just trying to get in and out of it at the launch the first time I try to get into it, because I've been used to my sit-on-top, and I rolled it in, like, 6 inches of water. You know, that was real macho. A lot of people at the boat ramp, here I am upside down in my sitting kayak. You know, of course, I jump out with my manly man pose and my paddle like I meant to do it, you know, like I was practicing. And I can stick one spinning rod on my spray skirt, but and put a few things in my deck bag, but they're not as easy to fish out of as a sit on top. And if you have any desire to get out of your kayak and do a little wade fishing, of course now, Chip, you know my center of gravity is not where it needs to be for sitting kayak. I think I got the same problem you and Chuck have about being bobblehead heavy.
No, that's Mark. Yeah.
Is that
Lozier?
I thought
big
that
head.
Was
no, 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 not Lozier.
Too. I thought we had bobblehead Chuck dolls on order from the Boondocks.
Oh, no, it's me and Watanabe with the big head. So, yeah. But, the stability is just, they're made for being fast and being easy to paddle and stuff, too. And they're
not. Right. That's right.
I mean, I bet that thing isn't, what, 24 inches wide?
Nope. It's, probably 22, 23, and it's a big sit-in. It's one of the bigger sit-ins that they make, so I get my big old fat behind wedged in that thing. But,
couple of strokes, and you're probably doing 10 knots, but...
yeah, but a sit-in kayak is not really a fishing, it's not really a fishing boat. Like I said, if you want to swing your legs out,
yeah,
you can swing them out, jump out, do a little wade fishing, jump back in. It's just not, they're good boats, but they're just not what I would. That would not be the first kayak I bought for fishing.
No, in fact, there's a guy. I think his first name's Jason. I don't know, Stock or it's one of the guys, but he's from the Pacific Northwest, and they do that thing about where they travel around and get people to. They draw attention to water quality and stuff like that. Man, I'm trying to look it up right now, but he does a lot of. paddling, but they paddle from touring kayak. And when he fishes, though, he fishes with a hand line. So because you don't have that lever sticking out one over one side, you know. So if you catch something, you just hand line that sucker in and stuff. So, but they fish a lot. They're out in the Pacific Northwest and stuff like that. So, but
that's big water.
Yeah, that's big water. And those touring kayaks are good in that. You know, put a spray skirt on, keep things dry, go fast, but not real stable for fishing. So,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I've had a 12-footer. I have a 12-footer, and I have a 16-footer. If I was going to fish a lot of smaller water, ponds, say lakes under 100 acres or 200 acres, not like a great lake, but a smaller lake, ponds, small streams, I probably wouldn't go with anything over a 14 because my 16-foot tarpon, when I get on the Hooch and places like that, that thing is a bear to turn. Now, when I'm down in Panama City and some other places, you know, I can stroke that 16-footer and it'll glide a good bit, but it doesn't turn. It's not maneuverable, even when I lean into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got limited storage space or if you're going to fish smaller water, you're not going to be out in the ocean that much, out in the proper ocean. You're going to be in bays, smaller bays. You could probably get by with a 12 or 14.
Yeah, and that's like with the manufacturers like the Jackson Kayaks or their Coosa. It's a nice river boat. It's 12 feet long. I've got a Malibu Mini X. And Bill, they've got like a mini one now. It took the place of the Mini X from Malibu. Bill is the captain of the Malibu team.
They still have the Mini X, but they got a Stealth 9 now.
That's it, the Stealth 9.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little boat. And that's a great boat for when you're in moving water like a river. And that's one of the nice things about like the Coosa is that, I mean, when you try to paddle a little bitty short boat like that, you ain't got enough keel to keep it going straight. So, but when you're in moving water, like in a river or something, you throw out a little drag anchor to slow you down or a drag chute, and you can fish along the river all day long. You hardly ever have to paddle except just to move yourself to one side of the river or the other. So, but there's so many different things. But like I said, it's a great deal because, I mean, sitting right here, I know Cap D, he's on the line, and he uses natives. He fished out of the Jackson Big Tuna when he was down at the Boondoggle. Bill is captain of Malibu team. You got the native, they didn't get sold out, and the Manta Ray is just now, it's by native instead of Liquid Logic, but and I've got natives, I've got ocean kayaks, I've got the Cobra fishing dive. That's a big old boat there, but it works great when you got a lot of surf that you got to paddle through. That sucker just drives right through like a battleship, man. It's about 38 inches wide. So, but anyways. So, oh yeah, Chuck did mention there was a guy at the Adventure Fishing World Championship, and he was in a Coosa. Holy cow, man. He must have paddled twice as far as anybody because every time you do a stroke in one of those boats, it goes that direction. So left, right, left. He was zigzagging all the way around. But anyways. But
well, I can't imagine that the guys that were in Diablo enjoyed that very much either.
No, that was Chuck's partner there, Pepe, in that big Diablo. And he wasn't having fun at all. So, but yeah, Lozier just said they've come a long way since the old Scupper Pros, right? Remember those, Bill? The Scupper Pro. But Lozier just said, "Oh, Pepe just got picked up with Native." That is Chuck. Yeah. So Pepe's now a Native, paddler. Somebody was asking Chuck about the Hobies and the fins in the water. So, but anyways, so that was enough of that first boat kind of information there. That's kind of cool. I got something I wanted to share with everybody. I found it. It was a royalty-free music. So we're going to take a couple seconds. We're going to listen to the song.
She was 21, looking fine. She had a lot. heart of mine. She told me her name, knife on her mind. She said it was up, you think it's about time. So we jumped in our boat, paddled away. I thought this would be another leisure day. Thought it was time for me to take a dip. So she checked me with a paddle and I went flip. Paddle hard and paddle fast. Problematic paddler, paddle fast. Hard and while she rocks my boat.
Yeah, that's a new button, Chris. That's Kayak Girl by Small Fish. So, some royalty-free music we've been trying out on our stream during the day. So, if you got the app, punch that button every now and then during the day, and you might get some interesting music. So, yeah, we got some new buttons coming up. So, anyways, what was I going to ask about? Bill. How's it going with Will It Fish, man? We got the first version out on yakangler.com.
Yeah, and I have used the second lure. I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want to spoil it.
No, no spoilers.
But I went on the wrong day and the fish weren't biting. So I'm going to still have to go out on another day and use it. It's going to be tough on this one. It's going to be tough. And then I've already got the third lure for the third installment. And it's going to be pretty cool.
Okay.
I'm convinced that I'll catch. I know I will. I will. There's no doubt about it. That I'll catch something on those. So this middle lure, this second one's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, huh? But you're gonna give it like the Mythbusters try, and if you don't get it right the first time, then you're going to blow it up, right? You're going to modify it until you can make it catch fish.
Yeah, we'll try to do something with it and see, you know, if we can catch something with it. So
you need
but
to
the first one. I don't think it gave it a fair shake. I mean, I cut it down and put it on a jig head.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, redfish aren't the smartest thing in the world. You can put a shoelace on a jig head and it will hit it. So I did try to rig it up Carolina style.
Okay.
But it just, I don't know, it just didn't, there's just not enough of the mass on that Shackalissa to really attract any tension. And then again, I went on a crappy day when the fish weren't biting. So I think if I'd have used it, you know, the day before when we were out with Greg Chris, they might have hit it then. But, I'm going to, you know, when I get these, I'm going to try to use them straight out of the bag and try to use them as they would be in their natural fishing environment. But then, you know, if that's not working, then I'm going to do something to them so I can catch something with it.
Cool. So I just put the link up there in the chat room. It's yakangler.com. They've got it under fishing gear reviews. I told Mark we need to get that into get its own billing, right? You don't need a byline in that. That's just Will It Fish. That's a premier segment now. So.
And I promise the video will get better. It's just, you got to remember, it's a one-man deal.
I'm going to hook you up with a couple extra video, a couple extra cameras. Wow. So we're going to get you set up.
That would be appreciated.
Yeah, we're going to get you set up there because I've carried those things around now for a year, and I think I've got maybe – I use it more on – I actually got a – I have two GoPros and one Contour. And I like the Contour better on a motorcycle. Because it's a little more streamlined. It's kind of a little tube, you know, like a little flashlight thing. But it has a little bit smaller field of view, but it's still wide angle. And if you put it on your helmet, it just sits on the side of your helmet instead of right in the top of your forehead like some goober thing. But But I like that. So the two GoPros, I've carried them around. I've had them at every boondoggle, and I don't think I've got 5 minutes worth of video on them because I'm just too busy getting other stuff set up and all to put the things on there. So
yeah, that's me. It's videos. Video's kind of hard for me to deal with. It takes a lot of time to edit, and
right.
I would rather shoot just plain still pictures, but this doesn't, you know, wouldn't be, I don't think, near as interesting with still pictures. So we're gonna expand the video and try to make it a little better than the first one. Each one will be better, I promise.
Right, get better with every try. Right, you'll learn something new. So and that's the other thing too. You know, like, you know, Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi, they do some real good jobs with videos and kayak fishing, but they've been doing it, so they've got the trial and error, and they know where they're, you know, how the cameras are set up and stuff and all that good stuff, and that just takes a little bit. So cool. Will It Fish with Bill Howard, Haywood, yakangler.com, and keep your eye on it because he's already got the first edition out. I put the link up in the chat room there. Just go to yakangler.com under Fishing Gear Reviews, and you'll see Bill in there. And the first one was the Shackalicious, the Yum Shackalicious, and Bill put it through the paces. And he's working on the second iteration now, and we should get the third one out pretty soon. So probably something just about every week, basically, right?
Well, I want to try. That's what I want to try.
Yeah,
I like to try to keep it, you know, keep it going and rolling, but you know, just fishing on the weekend.
Yeah,
and you know, you got to count in the weather, and then you know, there might be times I go out there and just nothing will hit what I'm throwing. So, mm-hmm.
And some things, and it's fair game, right? So, folks listening in here, Kayak Fishing Radio,
anything.
You go to yakangler.com, you can make a suggestion. Or if you've got the lure itself and you want to send it to them, send a copy of it or something like that. But we'll certainly, the folks there at yakangler.com, will get it squared away. So, all right. Cool. So, now, I said in the invite tonight that I was going to talk a little bit about the boondoggle. Well, unfortunately, we're not ready to announce yet the boondoggle location for the next one. But the dates for the next boondoggle will be Columbus Day weekend. We do two a year, one on President's Day weekend and one on Columbus Day weekend. Columbus Day weekend this year is October, what is it, the 11th through the 14th. And actually, Chris just cued me in there and I in a little message there. And, yes, we are. Let's see, I'm going to double-check my calendar here. So October 11th through the 14th is Columbus Day weekend. That's this year. And we're getting really close to being able to give everybody the location. We hope that you've got it penciled in on your calendar to join us. If you drove down to I'll give you a hint. If you drove to Titusville for our last boondoggle, if it's and you weren't coming from Florida, you won't have to drive that far again. How's that? That's a pretty bad hint though, isn't it? Right? So it's not that far down in Florida. Unfortunately, that's about all I can tell you. The dates, Jim, dates are 11 to 14 October. So pencil that on your calendar. You're not going to want to miss it. Every year, this is our third year. This will be the sixth boondoggle, the sixth biggest one, the third Columbus Day. But every year, they're just getting bigger and better. I mean, they jumped out of the park at Chokoloskee, Virginia Beach, and we just blew our minds at Titusville. And so I think this next one is going to be just as interesting, a little bit different format. We're trying to coordinate with a local tourism board, or at least local to this site, and see if we can't bring a little bit extra to those that show up for the boondoggle. So hopefully we'll be able to announce it next week. So stay tuned for that. We'll get it there. So, oh, man. So, Bill, you spent a little time fishing. I see another article up on yakangler.com by you, and you're out there fishing with the Bill's a real hospitable guy. I mean, we showed up after the boondoggle over in Tampa, and him and Mr. Becker just went out of their way to show us some fish, and my wife and son had a great time. The clone and Sam caught the biggest fish she's ever caught in her life, and she was pretty happy with that. And that was just 28. That was great fish on a 4-piece travel rod, yeah. By St. Croix.
Yeah, it was. Was like a 2000 or 1500 series reel or something.
Yeah. You just sent me something, Bill. What'd you do that for?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So she did a nice job on that redfish. So you went fishing with Hammerhead, Greg Chris, right?
Yeah. He was down for some work and a convention, and so we Mr. Becker got put together the meet and greet, and he came over to Simmons Park there on my side of the bay. And we got out there, and we had a pretty darn good day.
Uh-huh.
It didn't look like it was going to start out very well, but so we had a mullet netter just doing donuts right on the flats, right where we were going to fish.
Right.
The old Haywood would have gone mental. And I mean, absolutely mental. But I think after the events of a couple years ago, I've just tried to let it roll and let it go. And we ended up having a pretty good day despite it, you know. Once we kind of figured out where they were hiding, at everybody was catching fish.
You were out there on the flats again, right? Right off of Simmons.
We had a really low tide that morning, with a little bit of a northeast wind, and that blows the water out of the bay, so it makes any low tide even lower.
Right.
So the fish were not up in the mangroves and in the backcountry. They were all out on the flats, and all you had to do was look for the mullet. If you saw a mullet that was within casting range of you jumping, all you had to do was throw in that general direction, and you got a redfish.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it was, and we were pretty much all throwing the chartreuse slayer jig head and 1/8 ounce 3-aught hook with some kind of dark color plastic on there. And that's it. That's what they key on this time of year. The grass is gone. You just move that. You can drag it along the bottom or hop it along the bottom, but just move it really, really slow because the water's still kind of cold. They were crushing it. I mean, absolutely crushing it.
Are you seeing any snook coming out yet?
The snooker, they were not on the flats. They are on the flats in other areas. They're not in. I haven't seen any snook out there on the lower tides like that on those particular flats. Now, they are up in the creeks where I took you and the phone.
Right.
We went back and, it was like, okay, Greg, there they are. Try to catch one. But I imagine, once the tide comes up, those snook move out on the flats there. So.
Cool. But they will come back. The snook will come out on those flats, just like the reds are when it gets warmer.
Yeah, when it gets a little warmer,
uh-huh.
And I imagine there are probably a few out there, because I have caught them in different areas, already out on the flats. But we haven't seen a lot of snook in on these flats yet.
All right.
And then, you know, you'll get another low tide like that. You'll go back to those creeks, and they'll be gone, because now the water's warm enough for them to, you know, to go ahead and head out. As the water drops, they head out of those creeks and get out on the flats.
Okay.
But not quite yet. Not in this area. And I actually found two groups of those fish. I went back Sunday and I found another little spot, and it just had them. It was probably about the size of my garage, and there must have been 50 or 60 snook in there.
Huh.
But they just, you know, they will not bite when they're like that. I imagine if you threw a live shrimp in, or maybe a greenback, they might. But
right.
Yeah.
Who wants to fish live?
But it's still good to see them there, though.
That's yeah. Yeah, especially after the freeze and stuff. And
yeah,
it was kind of dicey there. It was getting kind of cold a little bit, you know, before the boondoggle there. And I was like thinking, man, we don't need no freezing going down there. But it's been pretty warm this winter, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because I just caught a really nice snook down on the southwest end of the bay out on the flats. And then we had this, you know, kind of cold front come through, and I was a little worried that it would stay, you know, maybe too cold for a couple of days, and those fish are already out, but it didn't. It didn't bother them.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, if it's just a quick little one, man, it's just when, you know, that last time, what was it, 2 years ago, it just got, the temperature got down, and it just stayed there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
That's what really
13 hurt. Days of
yeah.
30 degree weather.
Yeah, and that just hurts. Man.
The water temperature in Key West was 45.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
I mean, that tells you something. That's how cold it got.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty cold.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, cool.
Not the water temp. I mean, the air temp.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, it got pretty cold down there.
They're there and they're looking good. They're coming back, and the reds were looking good when we were there. And so going to be a good year for fishing, I think.
Yeah, I think so. The I mean, there's already spash mackerel in the mouth of the bay. You know, there's areas to the south where the grass just looks beautiful.
Cool.
The redfish have been pretty good. A lot of big trout. So, I don't know, this spring and summer is looking pretty good, as long as we don't get a big hurricane.
Yeah, that'll be the other end of the scoop, right?
Yeah, but it's funny because when Hurricane Charlie came up through Charlotte Harbor, the Moat Marine had four redfish down there that had satellite tags on them. And as that storm turned, those fish started moving out of Charlotte Harbor.
Huh.
And they got out of the Charlotte Harbor before the storm came right up through the middle of the harbor. And
wow.
as soon as it made landfall and started heading in, those fish turned and came right back to where they were.
Hmm. They know, huh?
Yeah,
seems
they know,
like,
man. They know.
No. Get out of Dodge. It's fixing to get nasty, right? Yeah.
That's what those guys did, because it did get pretty bad down there.
Right. So what's your plans for fishing this weekend, man? What's it looking like? Weather's supposed
to
be nice.
Yeah, I've got a tournament Saturday, the paddlefishing.com challenge series. We get to fish with two bucktail jigs, and that's it.
Any special color?
One's white, the other one's brown. That's it.
All right. That is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose one, you're hosed.
Yeah, if you lose both, you're done early.
You're done early. Good, take it on in, right? So,
yeah.
All right. So there, that's Saturday, the Paddlefish Challenge.
Yep. Battlefishing.com.
Battlefishing.com. So if you're in the Tampa area, you're interested in playing with that, check it out. Paddlefish.com. Paddlefishing.com.
Paddle-fishing.com.
Paddle-fishing. Or hyphen, yeah.
And not the word dash, but paddle.
Or the military term tack. Paddle tack fishing, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Never heard that one.
Never. Oh, come on, man. All right. So, yeah, check it out. That's cool. And, all right. And we look forward to the next iteration of Will It Fish. So, awesome. Cap D, man, unmute yourself and tell us, are you fishing this weekend or is it still too cold up there in the Great White North?
No, man, it's too cold, but I'll chime in for a minute. We stumbled across something up here in April at the head of the Susquehanna River, where the Susquehanna River meets the Chesapeake Bay is where the stripers go to spawn in the springtime. So there's some group up here. I don't know who they are or what they're all about yet, but they're having what they're calling a jamboree in April, which looks very suspiciously like a boondoggle to me.
Huh. Might be the TKA group. Is that you guys over there? I think Lozier's in the chat room. Yeah, he's still there. So is Java Chick.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I haven't just sort of stumbled on it. My fishing buddy and I are going to register and go on up there in April and do it.
Cool.
It's a great place to fish. It's a catch and release for that time of year for the stripers because they're all up there spawning.
Right.
But the nice thing about it is I've never kayak fished. We fished in the flats boat up there, very shallow water. But you can, you know, if you're a freshwater kind of guy, you can, you know, without too much trouble, paddle up into the freshwater of Susquehanna. So you get the smallmouths and some of that kind of stuff as well. So it should be pretty interesting, but it's a weekend kind of event. One of the interesting things that they have is at their captain's meeting, they have some unofficial Calcuttas going on.
Oh, okay.
So they've thrown a little, it looks like some little pots in there to make some things interesting. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't get any response, but you probably see Lozier's or Rob Choi or somebody like that, some of the folks that were up at Virginia Beach Boondoggle, probably see some of those guys hanging around there.
Yeah, cool. Be fun.
So, yeah. Those stripers, some big old cows coming in through that one, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. Jim, how about you, man? You said you're going to try to get out and do some fishing this weekend.
Yeah, man, I think I might go down and try my new depth finder I put on my tarpon. And maybe bounce some jigs for crappie. I got them in our pond in the deep ends, about 25 feet. Someone sunk a tree down there.
No.
I don't know who did it. It's right on a point. My 12-footer, when I put the depth finder on it, I found it, and it was stacked full of fish. So I might slide down there in the afternoon and trout my new depth finder.
You might have to send me a text and give me a location, man.
I can do that, man.
All right. Yeah, send me some info, man. Tell me what time you want to be there. We might see how far it is for me to drive up there.
Bringing up the clone? You have the clone come up?
Oh, I don't know. He's been pretty busy this week. They had all kinds of stuff at band and school, and he's getting ready to go across the street to the high school. So I'm becoming an idiot. So
I understand. I understand. My nephew did that to me a couple of years ago. He's graduating this year, so I'm not the cool uncle anymore.
It'll change. They'll get over it, right? So, all right. Well, I guess I didn't. Maybe people caught on to my ruse about talking about the boondoggle, but just want to make sure everybody's still thinking about it. It's going to happen here. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Somehow my scrolling quit sucking. Double haul. Okay, here we go. Price casting. I'm about a page behind. The clone is pro staff. All right. There we go. It's not TKA. It's a Maryland event. Okay. Yeah. State Park Campgrounds. All right. There we go. So I'm caught up now. All right. Well, that's been fun. coming up on quarter till the hour. So, Bill, appreciate you for joining us tonight, man. Good luck on the tournament. We want to see what happens. Have you posted? You put the article up, but did you post any more pictures from the from your fishing trip with Hammerhead there this weekend?
No, the article has all the pictures.
Okay, cool. So that'll be on yakangler.com, and we'll check that
we'll
out.
There.
All right, man. Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Mr. Kapitz, thanks for joining us.
Rob.
Yeah, and let us know how it goes over there in April.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
All right.
I'll try to find the actual event. I can't. It's in my email buried somewhere. I'll get it out on the line somewhere.
Okay, cool. Post it on Yak Angler or send it to me in a text and we'll get it up for the folks that are interested.
Yep.
So. All right. Jim, give me a call, man.
Got it, man. I'll give you a
call. Right. All right, man. We'll talk at you later. Thanks, folks, in the chat room there. Mr. Lozier, Chris, T. Morris, Tommy Head. Tommy, give me a call this weekend. Let me know what the game plan is. And because actually I'm looking at the weather and Monday looks like it's going to rain. So we don't want to waste a trip, but got a small pond. It runs into a 5-acre pond. That might be good. All right. So thanks for joining us tonight. And we'll do it again next week, Monday night. Chuck will be kicking off the week. Make sure you tune in. We'll see you next time. Kayak Fishing Radio. We'll go out with some kayak girl. Good night, everybody.
She was 21, looking fine. She had a line into this heart of mine. She told me her name, not on her mind. She said it was up. You think it's about time? So we jumped in our boat, paddled away. I thought this would be another leisure day. Thought it was time for me to take a dip. So she checked me with a paddle and I went flip. Paddle hard and paddle fast. Problematic paddler, paddle fast. Pardon while she rocks my boat, I'm just trying to stay afloat. Paddle hard, I paddle fast. Problematic paddle, I paddle fast. Pardon while she rocks my world. Forever she will be my kayak girl. Couple hours later, after we say goodbye, she calls me on the phone and says, "Hey, kayak guy, my knees started shaking, the water starts to swirl. I think I fell in love with my kayak girl." Paddle hard, I paddle fast. Problematic paddler, paddle fast. Pardon while she rocks my boat. I'm just trying to stay afloat. Paddle hard, I paddle fast. Problematic paddler, paddle fast. Pardon while she rocks my world.